Hi, Russ.
Simmer, how are you?
I'm all right. How are the dogs?
Dogs are good.
Dogs are good.
I'm good on this day.
You're good. You were there last night. Interesting.
Yep.
What? Tell us a little bit about the Brandon Manning thing. So, you know, just to get people caught up. Last year,
right.
McDavid goes out, broken collarbone. Manning's the guy that kind of rode him into the boards. I point out the fact today that I thought Manning could have got seriously injured on that play, but didn't. So we thought it was all behind us, but then the chirping begins yesterday.
Yeah, the chirping began very early in this game. I noticed after maybe the first shift, starting like the second shift, there was a lot of back and forth between Manning and McDavid, and it really kept continuing through a lot of that first period. And I guess at some point, Zach Kassian tried to come over there and challenge Manning and get it over with, but Manning didn't go. He didn't bite. And so, you know, eventually when McDavid scored that goal, that was sort of like in your face. And then after the game, McDavid came out and said that Manning basically brought up the situation last year on the ice, and I guess brought it up in a way that made McDavid think he did it on purpose. None of us know that whether that's true or not, but he felt that way, and so he basically called out Manning saying, well, that's the way he felt, and we sort of can close the chapter on this. We know the answer, and, you know, also McDavid may have called him something like a bitch on the ice.
What?
And so, you know, all of that, McDavid called Manning that.
Really?
And so after all that, you know, it was interesting. Manning did give a quote after saying he didn't mean it on purpose and everything else. This was way after the media scrum. I never saw Manning come out. And so I don't think it's done. And I think McDavid had a valid point in that his guys wanted to sort of settle it on the ice. And because he didn't want to fight, now, next time they play, more stuff's going to ensue, I'm sure.
All right, Russ, well, for you and our fandom, our listeners, here's exactly what you're referring to. This is McDavid after the game.
You know, I did all I could defending him last year in the media. You know, everyone wanted to make a big deal saying he did it on purpose. And, you know, he wanted to say some comments today about you know, what went on last year. And you know, I thought it was one of the classless things I've ever seen on the ice. So, you know, he said some things, and you know, our guys responded accordingly. And you know, I guess we can put the whole "if he did it on purpose" thing to rest, because you know, what he said out there kind of confirmed that. So, you know, shows what kind of guy he is when he doesn't step up and fight some of our guys.
Shows what kind of guy he is, he says. Anyway, the last lap, you say, Russ, you were there, by the way, again, mm-hmm. on hand. Mm-hmm. So he kind of taunts a little bit, does McDavid, after his goal. But the last laugh goes to the Flyers, dude.
Yes.
And that's ultimately it, right?
I think that's the point, the part that was lost on McDavid. But McDavid practically put his shoulder out of joint to sort of give that, oh, yeah, thrust with the arm when he got the goal. And that's not like him either. None of this was like him, but I think he just was doing what he thought was right, and he felt like he was wrong, then he wanted to let everybody know about it. I mean, he was asked. If he wasn't asked, I don't know if he would have offered up the information, but we all saw what was going on, and he answered it. And I don't think there's a problem with that, but I don't think this is settled either. That's the thing. Hockey players like to put these things behind them, and it didn't happen. And so now we're going to see more.
Nobody dropped the mitts in this game. No. So just so you know, or more so the listeners know who are wondering, I say, well, if it's not settled, when will it be settled? There is a Flyers, and I'm especially wondering, is that it for the season because they're in different conferences? Oh, no. February 16th, the Flyers visit the Edmonton Oilers. So there you go. Mark that down.
There you
we'll
go.
See if anything else comes out of it. Now, you are Mr. Prospects, man. And what do we know in terms of the Nolan Patrick injury? This is a guy who's projected to be the first overall pick, but this is not a McDavid. This is not a McKinnon. This is not a Crosby situation for Patrick. This guy's not clear of a number of other guys, right? This is going to be a tight battle.
Yeah, this is going to be more of a tight battle, but him and Lil Chagrin are both not on the World Junior roster now. Patrick is because of injury, and they say he won't be cleared in time. I'm assuming it's a knee, but I believe it's a lower body, and so you just don't know 100%. But they're playing it safe, and so it's tough because Canada could definitely use them, but they certainly have enough troops. For people that want to see him to rate him for the draft, they're gonna have to wait. But we've seen a lot of Nolan Patrick over the last few years, and you know, as he's getting over 100 points a year. But you like to see him against the world's best competition too, like against some of these guys that he's not facing in his league all the time, and so we're gonna sort of miss out on that, and that's a shame. But you know, maybe he'll be one of those guys that bridges the gap and plays in the world championships before the draft.
Russ Cohen from Hockey Prospects Radio. I want to bring up the USA team because normally, having covered these in person for a number of years, the World Junior Championships all over the place, yes. Canada's a favorite every time. Let's face it.
Yeah.
They're just, the depth that's there, it's like, okay, they're going to have, I don't care if there's two kids that are 18 playing in the National Hockey League or 19 playing in the National Hockey League, they still have, they're just stacked. However, that said, I got the USA Hockey, you know, little email with the press release preliminary roster. I tell you what, that's a pretty damn good looking roster, preliminary roster for Team USA. They might actually be the favorites.
I don't think I can make them the favorite. It's a good roster. If Kaylor Yamamoto were on there, I might make him the favorite. I mean, this guy's almost at a goal a game, and he's not on the roster.
Why is he not on it?
I don't know. I didn't pick it, but he should be. He might be the most talented offensive player that could be on that roster, but he's not on it. He wasn't picked. He wasn't selected. He's got like 40-something points, 17 goals, and maybe he scored last night. Who knows? But the idea is he's not on there. And so that sort of makes it just a little incomplete, but it's a really good offensive roster. Defensively, I think they're a little small. I'll be honest. I mean, you got Jack Aitken on there who's 5'7". From St. Cloud State. I don't know. That's a little scary, but we'll see. We'll see if he actually makes the squad. He might not. Otherwise, you know, Fox isn't the biggest guy, but I'm a big Adam Fox guy. I think that's fine. Chad Chris, same thing. Kalib Jones sort of helps balance it out, and McAvoy will be the best there. Lindgren's real good. Luke Martin's a guy maybe I would have liked to have seen invited in from Michigan, but because he has some size and good speed, but he's not on there either. So only a couple of omissions. Otherwise, I really do like the roster, but I think Canada's blue line is better.
See, I just saw some, you know, high picks in the forward unit. I'm like, wow, these guys are.
Yeah, no, the forwards are really, 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 really good, and the goalies are really, really, really good. I mean, I'm fine with all of that. I think it'll be between Tyler Parsons and Jake Ottinger for the top job. Ottinger is a 2017 draft eligible guy, but out of Boston University. We've talked about him. I even mentioned him last week. But he is young, so I'm not expecting him to win it. And Joseph Wall, while I like him, always seems to be sort of like the steady-as-she-goes guy. So it'll probably be Parsons, but it wouldn't shock me if Ottinger got the nod either.
You think Team USA is going with, for World Juniors, kind of doing the thing that maybe tripped them up a little in the World Cup, and that is they're building their team with a certain identity in mind, and they're going to pick kids that aren't the most offensively talented across the board? And is that a mistake again?
That's exactly what they're doing. They basically, even in the press release, was saying, well, Bob Motzko likes this mobile team, and so they're trying to build this mobile team, which is great, but they also do seem like they've assembled guys that could play a fourth-line role. And I would rather do exactly what you just said. Go with the most offensively talented players and roll with that. And then also look at some of the other teams and say, maybe we need a little more size on the blue line. Because these days, if I'm getting size on the blue line, I'm making sure these guys can skate too. But in these tournaments, in these tight confines, you know that sometimes size on the blue line matters. And so that's a little bit of a worry for this team. That's the reason I can't make him the favorite. But they did get Jeremy Bracco right. I mean, he wasn't on there last year, and he's back this year. So that's a big deal. So because he was, you know, a couple years ago, he's one of the leading scorers in the under-18s for them. So now at least he's back in the fold. That'll be a big deal. So I like the team.
Yep. When we see guys pop up getting their first NHL goal or NHL assist, it seems to be a balance, Russ, between guys that are prospects that you'd probably have heard of or been following at some point or other. And then there's just like these 26, 27, 29-year-old guys. They're just inexpensive, and they make rosters. Like, for example, in the Vancouver, we have two examples in the example of both, I should say, in the Vancouver 5-1 win over Tampa Bay. Luke Witkowski, okay, he's a D-man, 6'2", 220 pounds, picks up his first NHL assist for Tampa Bay. He's from Holland, Michigan, right shot D-man. He was a sixth rounder back in 2008. He'd played 20 different games here and there in the National Hockey League. He's in his mid-late 20s.
Yep.
And then on the flip side of that, for Vancouver, we get Jason Megna, who comes non-traditional. He's a Florida-born, played a little bit at Nebraska, Omaha. Did you know anything about this kid? And
he kicked around with the Rangers last year, if you remember. He's got some size and speed, and so I did know about him, but was one of those guys that just, as he got to the next level, couldn't finish. And, happy he got his first goal. But it is an amazing thing what you're saying, because there are a lot of players, especially college free agents now, that make their way to the NHL because of cap-strapped teams, and they sort of fit them in, and they could play a role, and they could fill some minutes, and that's how you sort of can get around that now. So there are a lot more player opportunities as the salary cap gets tighter and the noose gets tighter around some of the GM's necks. You start seeing more of these players.
Yeah. Interesting how they fill out these rosters. They have to decide between older guys that are a little more mature or just keep loading us up with these kids. The league gets younger and younger. Russ, thank you very much. And you got Hockey Prospects Radio this weekend. Tell the folks details where to find you.
We can be found Saturday mornings, 8 to 10, on this great station. And then Sundays gets replayed at all different times. We'll have Yarmo Kekäläinen on talking about great players like Pierre-Luc Dubois and Sonny Milano.
Very good. Russell, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zimmer. Have a good one.